This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
And that's it. Game two to the Cavaliers. Final score in Cleveland. Knicks fall 107-90.
I'm disappointed that it wasn't competitive.
The second quarter was probably the difference. If you let a team go on a run like that, it's going to be a problem.
It's how you respond. You saw how Cleveland responded.
I would be stunned if you don't get an A-plus performance for the Knicks on Friday night.
This best-of-seven series is tied at one with game three coming up Friday at the world's most famous arena.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
I'm going to go back to the garden and we'll see him there.
On 98.7 ESPN.
So when you hear this song now, does it upset you?
It brings back a nightmarish experience.
Yeah, yes.
I used to like the song too before that.
Oh, it's a great song.
You're right, though. He hears it, regrets start flowing through his mind, and he just breaks down.
So can I ask, is he like singing softly or is he like
screaming?
Ugly? He's like ugly crying
with the window open
and weeping, scream singing, window open,
ignoring every stop sign.
Now when
every
light. When he pulled into where'd you wind up? Your driveway, Han's driveway, another locale?
No,
you were going
to an event.
You're doing an event.
Yeah.
All right. So when he pulls into the parking lot of that event, puts the car in park and says, all right, guys, here you are. Do you say, listen, sir, before we get out here, are you all right?
No.
You open the door, gone. You close the door. And you're not really a people person.
No, I'm a people person.
You didn't really care about this man. No,
I mean, in the moment, I cared about my survival is what I cared about.
But you had already survived.
Barely.
But you had.
Yeah.
So, you survived, and your first thought was about you, not about him.
Yeah,
but
it wasn't like, no, yeah, probably. That is the truth. Yeah, you're right.
Okay. At least you're owning
it. My thought was at some point we're going to crash and I'm probably not going
to
make it.
But you didn't. And you got to the place you were going to and he pulled into the parking lot and you knew. Did you see that little leaguer?
Yeah, she did a cartwheel. Yeah.
Yeah. So she's running to first base. Oh, T-ball.
Took the helmet off.
Helmet off, big cartwheel on the way to first. And that is Little League Baseball to a T. 11 children going after the baseball.
We had a big win last night.
Congratulations.
Big Little League win last night. Kids were all excited.
Yeah? How'd Milo do?
I did good. Made a nice play at first. It was good. I mean, you just want them to enjoy it.
It's a rough brand of baseball, I'll tell you that.
It's not aesthetically pleasing, but it's just, I mean, trying to make the kids have fun. Dude, baseball is not easy, man. You wonder why baseball, like the interest in baseball is dying. Trying to get kids to pay attention and actually like baseball is not easy.
All right, so this portion of the show driven by All-American Ford Auto Group, number one volume Ford group in the Northeast. Huge, enormous, beautiful locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Shop allamericanford.net. That's allamericanford.net. So I'm going to be honest with you, because I'm an honesty broker. I was very interested in the Knicks last night. I was all jazzed up for the Rangers last night, and they did not disappoint. Came out. Devils, I thought, were better for the first couple of moments at the power play. Rangers killed it off. Then the goal. Then the second goal. Rangers handily beat up on the Devils by the final of 5-1.
That's exactly what you want for game one. What a fraud you are, too, by the way.
Well, how so?
Because, I mean, what you said yesterday was, oh, it's Knicks house money. And that's how you brought that home, and that's how you watched TV last night.
That's right. So how does that make me a fraud?
Because, I mean, you should have been looking at it as, okay, we win game two, we win the series. Instead, no, you're just satisfied. Embarrassing.
You can say whatever you want. We're focusing on the Rangers now, Pally.
It's a big win.
It was a domination.
Yeah.
It was a domination, and I'll tell you one thing. If your goalie plays that much better than whoever they're going to play in that, this is going to be a quick series.
Well, I've said that a couple different times. I mean, the biggest question for the Rangers was because Igor was good. And especially as we got towards the end of the season, he was great. But would he be capable of being what you saw last year?
Kind of turning it on.
Well, yeah. We'll turn it into one of the best goalies in the world. Because you're going to need that. Like, this Rangers team is good. But if you're going to win the Stanley Cup.
You need great Igor.
Get through the East, you're going to need great Igor. And you got really, really good Igor last night.
He was sensational last night.
PK was awesome. I mean, you didn't give up a shot. I mean, that's a completely different hockey game. If you take that early penalty and for some reason, the Devils score on that power play. That place goes wild. They get all sorts of confidence. Because you got to remember, one of the things that the Rangers have going for them in this series is the experience. You're seeing that with the Knicks and lack of experience. Like, I mean, it's a thing. Like Quentin Grimes, probably moments pretty big.
It's big stuff.
IQ game one.
Especially on the road, too.
Looked overwhelmed, right? So, yeah, I mean, this is, I think there's more pressure at home, to be honest, in your first, because you understand that you got to win these two games. You got to protect home ice. So for them to kill that penalty, and you got really good Kreider where he needs to be, right in front of the net.
He's a tough guy, huh?
Dude, I'll tell you what, your forwards did a really good job yesterday.
Goodrow was excellent.
He was excellent, but not just that, though. I mean, so what happens when you play a team like the Devils and they have that kind of speed? You start turning pucks over, they go right down the ice, and they transition, whatever. But, I mean, they speed through the neutral zone. What you need from your forwards is, for the defenseman, in order to have the kind of gaps that you're going to need, is you're going to need to know that your forwards are going to come back and help. And I thought the Rangers forwards did a really good job last night with back pressure coming back to help. I thought the best moment for me last night was when Lindgren scored. Then you saw their reaction. They love him. And he plays
hard. How could you not? He's a warrior.
That's the great word.
He's a warrior.
Goal you can't let in.
Not a great goal.
No.
But that was right after they had overturned the high sticking call, right?
Yeah, then you go up three and that's pretty much it.
That was it.
Yeah.
Two, I was like, ugh. Once it was three, you're like, that's it.
It was pretty much over, yeah. But, I mean, he's one of those guys that gives you everything he has every single night. He's not known for his offense. That's what Adam Fox is there for. He makes a nice play and then just buries it top shelf, and the guys went wild. But this is a good team, man. It really is. And if they're going to be committed and they're going to manage pucks and their forwards are going to play good defensively, from top to bottom.
And Mika, who didn't really, show up on the score sheet last night, was really good.
Yeah, but he's another one of those guys. Like, he's got that, I mean, he's whatever you need from him. Penalty kill, face-offs, whatever it is. I still don't love where he is in the power play. I mean, it didn't affect him last night because they had a couple power play goals, but, like, if you're going to get goaltending like that, you're going to have forwards that are committed to...
How good is Fox on the power play, too?
He's awesome. He's awesome. Dude, I mean, him, Panarin, I mean, your power play is lethal.
Look at the amount of offensive weapons this team has.
That's what makes them scary. Now you got a fourth line that can also, I mean, the fourth line can score too, but I mean, they're there. They can shut you down, block shots. I think he had, 18, I think it was 18 block shots through two periods.
It's cool. You watch, and I asked Santiago, what do you think the fan ratio was last night? He said 50-50, maybe little advantage towards the Devils. But like, you watch playoff hockey, and it's just, and NBA is the same thing. It's just, it's different. Like, you watch the regular season, it's fine, it's fun. Guys play every game, which I really respect and I like, but playoff hockey, it's a different animal. It's wonderful.
Every mistake can cost you a game. And then on top of that, this is why the NFL is so amazing, is because you understand how important every single game is. During the regular season, you're playing 82 of these things until you get to the very end where you're fighting for your playoff life. That's why they say, like, when the Islanders were fighting to get into the playoffs, they played, how many playoff games going into this first series? Because every one of those games you need to win.
Right.
And when you're playing in a playoff series, that's what these games feel like. You can't afford, like, every mistake could cost you a series, could cost you a game.
And that's why you watch the game, Rangers up 2-0. Every time you give the puck away, neutral ice, you're like, oh, God. Because the Devils, they come back, they pop one in, now it's 2-1, now the entire complexion of the game changes.
Right, like that second period, Tatar wide open in front of the net, Shesterkin comes bombing out real aggressive, makes a great save. Made another good save on Hughes when Hughes dangled Mikkola.
He's good.
He's awesome.
He's really good.
But they got enough skill on that team. They can be quick strikes. So you have to make sure that you have guys that are committed to doing the
now,
right
the,
thing.
On the flip side of that, yes, you're right. Devils, they can score and they can score quickly. Defensively, like the Rangers are going to get their chances. And you saw it. Like that Tarasenko goal, you go up 1-0. I mean, it was not a great goal.
Not a great goal. I mean, it was good puck movement. I mean, it's probably, I mean.
Pretty fast for Miller.
The goalie is set the way he probably should be.
Like Shesterkin probably saves that.
The way Shesterkin played last night, yeah.
Yeah. Let's hear from some of the Rangers particulars. And by the way, Rangers fans, we're talking about your beloved blue shirts. 1-800-919-3776. Here's Kreider on the performance of the goaltender.
Like I said, he's often not always our best player, and he's making those big saves and making them look easy, and just instills a lot of confidence in your group when he's playing like that. I thought that pass he made to me in the second period was—it's not saying much, but I couldn't make that pass.
Here is head coach Gerard.
Actually, to steamroll your face for a second,
yeah, that's what we do.
I thought one of the plays that he made, and this is what makes him different.
Igor,
it makes him different than a lot of goalies in the NHL. And this is why I like him so much. I mean, obviously the puck handling that pass he made was an amazing pass, is you'll remember the play because I think they pointed it out, was he's on his right post. Holla has the puck, and it looks like he's going to be able to make a pass across through mm-hmm. the crease to that backdoor guy, and Igor has his stick out, poke checks, and goes out of play.
Yes.
Most goalies aren't doing that. And that's going to be...
He's great with the puck.
But that's going to be a legitimate... Like, that's a...
He's got great stick skills.
I think they showed the percentage last night. I think it's like a 35% chance to... Like, that's one of the better chances you're going to get like that. And he nullifies it because he's so dialed in.
And Ray, they were mocking Igor, right? Those were not Ranger fans chanting Igor early in that game. Those were Devils fans chanting Igor to mock the Rangers in the netminder,
correct? Yeah, they were doing the long Igor, like Daryl, Igor, and ask the Penguins how that worked out.
They used to do a chant at college where they would have a phone ring, and it would ring, 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 and then the student section would go, say Dave was the goalie. Dave, it's your mom. She says, you suck. And the whole crowd would say, you suck.
Really? Yeah. That's funny.
That's funny.
Yeah, it was good.
That's cute.
But you got to love the student. I mean, the student sections are the best.
I'm sure.
All right, play your little sound.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I don't want to interrupt you from your great college stories.
You wish you were with me my freshman year of college.
You're not kidding.
It would have changed your life.
You're not kidding. I have a pretty good life.
It's a shame. It's a shame you only got that 1 year.
I know. I should go back to school.
What? Like
Rodney Dangerfield.
Rodney Dangerfield.
Stay right in the dorms.
The Triple Lindy. Right?
Oh, jacuzzi.
Vonnegut would never write garbage like this. All right, here is it Gallant or Gallant? Have we decided upon
it? It's Gallant.
It's Gallant. I might like Gallant. We'll go with Gallant for now on Igor's game one performance.
Yeah, no, real strong. Made some real key saves. You know, in that power play, we kept him to the outside, but he had some screenshots he had to make key saves on. So it was just a solid team effort. He played really well, but I thought everybody in our team competed and played a good playoff game.
Now, here's the question I think we all had going into this series. Did playoff experience play a factor at all?
Experience doesn't mean a whole lot for me. We didn't have much of it last year, and you know, we had a good long run, and I just think it's getting the young players ready to play and compete and play hard, and you know, go from there. And I think our veteran guys did a real good job with that with our kids.
You agree with that? Experience doesn't really matter all that much?
No, I don't agree with that. I think for a couple reasons
it felt like it mattered last night.
Well, I think, I mean, just it depends. I mean, it's not, you can't just put a blanket, you know, a blanket over an entire team, but I mean, guy to guy, yeah. I mean, there are certain guys that for whatever reason, in those moments, like that's what made Eli Manning Eli Manning. He was one of those guys that just in the playoffs didn't change.
Nothing
game was the
changed.
Same. Derek Jeter, same thing. But there are certain guys that just have a hard time. It's a big moment. They know it. They put too much pressure on themselves. Things start moving too fast. And I also think when you have adversity, like this is like inexperience in this moment, like you have a guy like Palat who's been through it with Tampa, right? Tampa's had, I mean, through their cup runs, a bunch of ups and downs, where they get blown out one game and they have to bounce back. Like, these young kids, sometimes, like, now, how do you respond in game two knowing that this is a must win?
Right.
We lose game two, series is probably over. Can you deal with that pressure?
It's a lot of pressure.
If you've been through it, you're like, listen, it's a long series. Let's relax.
It's one game.
No, we're not going to sweep them.
3-2, 5-1, really no difference.
Doesn't matter. And you lean on the veteran guys. But I do, yeah, I absolutely think that that experience matters.
Let's go to Joe in Seaside. Joe, good morning. You're first up with the Rangers on 98.7.
Good morning, fellas. First time caller. Look, I honestly, I don't even think the Rangers played that great last night. I'm a huge Ranger fan, but the Devils kind of like controlled the puck throughout the second and third period. I was getting a little nervous, but
beginning of the second.
Took advantage of the power play.
Beginning of the second period.
They took advantage of the power play, and obviously Igor played phenomenal, so that was huge. But, yeah, I think they didn't play their best hockey, and they still had a huge win. And then I just want to make a little Yankee point. I'm a big Yankee fan. I didn't watch much of the game last night because I was more focused on the Rangers and the Knicks. All but right. I can't stand Clark Schmidt anymore. I do not want to see him pitch. It seems like every time he's on the mound, it's a 3-0 lead after the second inning, and I don't really know. I know that we're a little banged up on some guys.
Yeah, I think it's the thing. What better options you have
right now?
Got some
bad news too on Rodon.
Yeah,
they actually asked Booney after the game about that, and he said, "No, you're going to see him again."
But well,
they said, "Well, what?
Where are you going to go?"
The question was, "Can you afford to let him figure it out at this level?" And he said, "Yes."
Okay. Listen, are the Yankees in great shape? No. Are they good? They're going to get in?
Yeah, they're fine. You're as loyal as your options. You're right.
What are you, 10-7?
You're as loyal as your options. And you got, I mean, the concerning part for Yankees fans should not be, I mean, Clark Schmidt, yes. More importantly, the guy you paid all the money to bring in to be that compliment to Garrett Cole
yes.
is now having back issues.
It's a big problem.
That he's going to get tests on.
It's a big problem.
Not great.
And there were concerns physically with him heading into his free agency. And now God knows what it's going to be. What a waste of money that would be,
Both teams' pitching staffs. They got Carrasco now going on the 15-day IL.
Yeah, but is that even a negative?
You're not going to see Verlander until May. Scherzer, we'll see what he looks like tonight.
This afternoon.
You're right, 3 o'clock.
Oh, 3
beautiful.
O'clock.
Beautiful.
Thank God. I feel, there's nothing I want to do more than sit there and watch the Mets and the Dodgers. And I last night I saw the first J.D. Martinez home run. And I was like, I can't continue. I had to tap out too much.
And I watched this morning. Of course, it was J.D. Martinez, of course.
And who told you J.D. Martinez would be a perfect addition?
No, you're not wrong.
Would have been the, come on. If you had Martinez hitting fifth behind Alonso in that lineup, you'd feel great right now.
No, you know what? It's if Nimmo gets the third. In the first.
I knew right then. I mean, what's his face? Jason Hayward, who's a 6-time gold glove, drops the ball, looks silly in right field. Right. Nimmo winds up on third.
You know what?
Early lead, don't get a run. No chance they're going to win the game.
Kershaw gets his 200 win.
Perfect. Yep, he was good.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
We get breakfast this morning? What's going on with the grapes? The bananas are sitting there. What is happening?
Well, we always get breakfast. That's first.
So breakfast will be delivered.
Breakfast will be delivered.
In about 12, 15 minutes. Okay.
Right. And then grapes have been washed.
Okay.
I mean, you can tell by the sink exploded all over me, but the grapes are washed.
How do they look?
Plump. Very sweet.
Yeah. Did you have one?
Yeah, delicious.
Delicious.
Those are bananas today. Grapes.
Did you have a banana yet?
They don't look as ripe as I like them. Grapes, phenomenal.
Phenomenal grape. Oof. It's he called it the sugar grape.
It's delicious.
RJ, will you eat some grapes when they're fully washed and brought into the studio?
Oh, I love the grapes.
Okay. Raymond?
Elite grapes. Looking forward to them.
Who doesn't like grapes?
I don't know.
It's the tough one not to like. You get a good grape?
It can bother your stomach, though, if you eat too many grapes. Yeah, I think if too many, not just one or two.
I like the raisin, too.
Who doesn't like the raisin?
Love the raisin.
Who doesn't like raisin bread?
Raisin bran?
Raisin bran, that'll cause some stomach issues, though.
Yeah. Some raisin on my oatmeal? It's delicious.
Yeah. Overnight oats? I have an embarrassing promo to read at some point.
Which one?
I bet you're build a ride.
So why are you so embarrassed by it? You're going to get a beautiful bike. I'm going to get a beautiful Bronco that we're going to give away. Just be happy that we're giving away a customized Bronco.
Why do you get the Bronco?
Because I'm the one that's driving the cars. You said no. I said yes.
Well, I didn't realize that by saying no to the car that I would have no opportunity to be involved in the promo.
Decisions have ramifications. This is one of those.
I didn't realize. All right. You know, that's fine. I'll read it. I'll put my big boy pants on and read the hell out of this
Put your Bonnie
thing.
Rubble pants on and you read the hell out of it.
What did Rubble wear?
He wore the...
Was it a one piece?
It was a... No.
I think it was just
a one piece. Yeah,
the skin of a dead animal, probably.
Right. I'm not sure he wore pants.
No, I don't know. He definitely didn't
Fred
wear pants.
Well, Fred wore like the orange thing with the black dots. And maybe there was a bow tie.
Barney's was
that,
brown.
Like
Barney's
a,
was brown.
A kerchief.
Barney's was brown.
Barney wore the same thing. It was just brown.
It was brown, yeah.
I'm going to need you to keep your pants on, though.
Yeah, please don't. Please don't.
I got my Rangers 90 right over there. I had no pants on.
Tell you what, they win the cup.
And he was in the Water Buffaloes.
You going to wear it?
Yes. They both were in the Water Buffaloes.
Excellent bowlers.
Terrific. And that was a big thing to get out and bowl once a week. Was a big deal.
Rangers win, you're in the 90.
I think so.
Yes.
Connor in Greenwood, wherever that might be. Good morning, Connor.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good, good. First of all, I think Barney was the dress with the one over the shoulder.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
So I just had a quick one on the Rangers. So, hey, 2 years ago, we were too small, too slow. We
no,
got
that's wrong.
Last year.
Oh, no, that's inaccurate. Barney wore the brown.
Yep.
Okay. I don't even know what to call it, with the high sleeves and kind of the crisscross
right
neck.
String in the front.
Yeah, that was Barney.
Okay. All right, you know best, Dave. You were watching those. I just watched
you. Well, I just looked it up, to be honest with you.
Okay. So 2 years ago, the Rangers were too young, too soft. We didn't make it far. Last year, we were great in the regular season. We thought we would do bad in the playoffs, and then there we go. We're in the Eastern Conference Finals with Tampa Bay. This year, here we are. We're playing these guys hard. We're beating the out of the Devils. And what do you think about the rest of the playoffs?
See, I can't stand this.
This happened after the first.
I can't tolerate this.
Knicks Eastern Conference Finals guy.
It's. I mean, we beat the you know what out of the. It's one game.
One game.
It's one. It was a terrific game. You took it to them. You were better. Your special teams were better. Your goaltender was better. Maybe that continues. It's one game. So if you go out tomorrow night and you lay an egg, now you're 1-1. Just like you saw from the Knicks. Why would you react like that when what you just saw from the Knicks was the exact issue you could be having?
Maybe
the
he's not a Knicks fan.
But you saw it happen.
Well, maybe he didn't.
You don't think the man is aware that
Knicks
won game one and lost game two?
I don't know. This team was built to compete to win a championship. That's why you make the moves for Tarasenko and Kane. And actually, I mean, sneaky good move, too, was getting Mikkel in that
He's
deal.
Good. He's
yeah,
big.
Solid.
Yeah, really is.
He made a great defensive play sliding down to the side. I love that when the defenseman slides like that.
Rangers defense is pretty good.
Right. Well, no. I mean, Chris Drury's building a good team here. I mean, he knows what you need to get through the playoffs. You got to be able – you have to have the versatility when you play in the playoffs. I don't care what the sport is. To play a multitude of different ways. You want to play fast, we can play fast. You want to play physical, we can play physical. Special teams, check. Guys that are willing to block shots, check. Defensemen that can absolutely destroy people, check. So, I mean, you got all the right ingredients. Now it's on
time
the guys to go
take care of business. Yeah, let's go to Matt in Westchester. Hey, Matt. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, guys. Good morning. First of all, you guys are awesome. Love the show. You're a part of every one of my morning commutes. So thank you so much, gentlemen.
Thank you. That means a lot. We appreciate it.
Hey, so big Ranger fan. And I got to tell you something. You know, one of the things that really stood out to me last night was, and I think, you know, Rick, I think you alluded to it with the back pressure. I think we played physical throughout the game, too. I think, you know, when it came to our forecheck, when it came to dealing with pucks both in the offensive, neutral, and defensive zones, I thought we played really physical from the beginning. I think we actually set the tone in that way, and I think that really paid dividends throughout the game and hopefully throughout the series. So I was wondering, you know, if that's something that you think translates throughout the series. Is that a big factor early on, you know, when you're playing a physical type of style of hockey? Does that really, you know, is that like body blows like a boxer might deal to another boxer?
Yes.
That really takes a long-term effect?
Yes, it absolutely does. It's the best way to slow down a team like the Devils that relies so much on their speed is puck management, get pucks deep, put them in good spots where you guys can go in and actually, you know, have a chance to retrieve the puck or use the body. I mean, physicality is big, absolutely. Like, skilled players do not want to get hit. They don't. They want to be able to go up and down the ice, and if you don't allow them to do that, I mean, yeah, you get frustrated during the course of a seven-game series. The defenseman can absolutely feel that.
But playoffs are a different animal, too, because the forechecking and the hits, it's really revved up in the postseason.
Yeah, when it tightens up. It's supposed to tighten up. That's why, I mean, that's why, I mean, you look at the two teams, the Rangers and the Islanders by comparison, right? When you look at the Islanders, I mean, they don't have the same kind of firepower that the Rangers have. But they're a team that likes to rely on, you know, great goaltending and structure and how well they can play defensively. Problem with the Islanders is they don't have firepower, but on top of that, their power play is not very good. Beauty of what the Rangers have and why the Rangers are a team that could be a real problem for a lot of teams is they have the firepower, and if they're going to play with this structure, and on top of that, you throw in their power play, I mean, that's a lot to deal with.
And then
you're
the Devils. You can't take stupid penalties because you'd be on the wrong end of...
Or you have to score on your power play, or at least get shots in your power play. Because that generates, I mean, that generates momentum on both ways.
Right. Then this is not going to be a low-scoring series. It's not.
It shouldn't be.
So if you're the Devils, you got to put the puck behind.
Well, you can't afford to lose. I mean, you can't afford to go 0-for-4 and not have any shots. And the Rangers score 2 power play goals, especially when you get that early gift.
Yeah, it was. That was a bad call too.
It was the Trocheck call. It's not a great penalty.
It's not a great penalty. That was.
What do you mean? He gets his stick tied up at his feet, and the guy fell down. It's a trip.
I didn't like it
because you're a Rangers fan.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't love it. And then the one on Fox.
Which one was the one on Fox?
It was in the defensive zone. Player was going around the net. Kind of tied him up a little bit.
I don't know what you want me to tell you.
I didn't love it.
You killed it. You didn't give up any shots. You scored 2 power play goals. Enjoy the win.
I'm enjoying the win.
Enjoy the phone
enjoy
calls
the,
of
the hell out of the win.
Talking about a Stanley Cup.
I'm not going to enjoy this, but you will, and the people will, so I'll read it. See, you see what they do here, by the way? They make this read so that it just embarrasses me at higher levels every day. Here's your chance to build the 2023 Host Sadness Winner's Ride.
So they're going to change this every day.
Every day. They do nothing. Management sits in an office and does nothing all day long unless it comes to embarrass me, and then they're creative and brilliant.
RJ, who did I beat in Host Sadness? Do you remember?
It was a while ago. I'd probably have to check.
Yeah,
you beat K.
I don't think I beat K in Host Sadness.
Maybe I beat K.
Who did I beat in the finals of Host Sadness?
You know, we're running late.
This whole
giveaway is presented by All American Ford.
Who the hell are you?
The ESPN New York. Can you, Raymond, not pay attention for a minute like normal and just shut up so I can do this read, please?
Why are you mad?
Because treated very poorly on this show. Rev up the ESPN New York app and click on the contest tile to vote on the different vehicle options on Rick's fancy 2023 Ford Bronco. Voting runs through Friday, April 28th. That's next Friday. Right in the middle of the NFL draft, when All-American Ford will build Rick's ride. One voter will be randomly selected to join us in VIP at this year's Beach Bash on June 30th and have a chance to win the car. All brought to you by All-American Ford Auto Group, with huge locations throughout New Jersey in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Head to ESPNNewYork.com for promotion rules and information.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Let's go.
He knows sports.
I'm intrigued by a lot of guys.
And he's very humble.
I go away, this show dies.
So now it's time to see if you can stump Rothenberg.
Is the DS4 or 7, by the way?
And here we go. How are you feeling today? You think we're going to do well?
I think you'll do well. Yeah.
Okay.
You have some delicious grapes waiting for you if you do well. If you don't, they're...
Wait, I bought the grapes. If I don't do well, I can't have any of the grapes I purchased?
That's right. I washed them.
So now you have ownership of the grapes?
Yeah, I think that's only fair.
Oh, RJ, that's how it works out? If he washes the grapes I purchased, they now become ipso facto his grapes?
You know what they say, possession's 9/10 of the law.
But he doesn't have possession of the grapes.
I think he does. He was the last
possessor. They're in my possession, yeah.
In fact, I don't even know where the grapes are.
Right.
Yeah. There you go. We'll go on a wild goose chase for the grapes.
You'll never find them.
We play hot and cold during a break. Hot. All right, let's go. We started out like this every single time. Andy in Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Chico and the man, Reshin Rothenberg. Good morning.
Good morning. How'd your Islanders do the other night? Sorry to you. But how'd your Islanders do the other night, Andy?
David, what'd I tell you if the Rangers win the Cup this year?
Yeah, right, Andy. You're nice to him. You're mean to me, and you're nice to him, and he mocks you right to your face.
What'd I tell you, Dave, if the Rangers win the Cup this year?
I don't remember, but I know you would not be happy about it.
I told you I'm moving to South America.
Now, wouldn't that, Rick, be worth it for the Rangers to win the whole thing?
I don't know if I would, with your body, I'd go somewhere cold weather.
Finland.
Yeah, somewhere. Right. Somewhere.
Iceland.
Heavy clothing.
Iceland. All right, what do you got, Andy?
We got NFL draft because I'm topical. And this is the Santillo special. Tell me, David, the last time the San Francisco 49ers drafted a Hall of Famer.
RJ, you know this right off the top of your head? San Francisco 49ers. Hall of Famer. All right, so let's see. Ronnie Lott, but it's probably not him. Montana, but I think Lott was drafted after. I don't believe it's Jim Druckenmiller. Oh. Oh.
Virginia Tech?
Yeah, Jim Druckenmiller from Virginia Tech. How about a man that enjoys sit-ups and push-ups on his driveway?
Final answer?
Ooh, yeah, that's a good one.
Terrell Owens.
Let's go, Islanders. Let's go.
That
was good. That was good. I don't know. I mean, topical maybe next week, but...
That it's topical.
No, stop it.
We're very draft-centric.
Right, yeah, but you can't start tooting your own horn. I mean, we're in the midst of NBA and NHL playoffs. Draft's next week.
It's 8 days away.
So?
I think that's good, solid topic. I think that he did a good job there. Let's go to Jeff in Howard Beach. Jeff, Stump Rothenberg, go.
Hey, morning, guys. Hey, Dave, just so you know, Rick represented very well last week when I asked him about my movie question about Point Break. I'm going to come at you with a TV question.
All right.
About one of the most popular shows on TV. Okay? It's probably going to be a guess, so you're going to have a 25% chance of getting it right.
I hate these questions. Go ahead.
In the show Seinfeld, right?
Yes.
Only one main character on Seinfeld didn't appear in one episode. Can you tell me which character he was or she was?
I think it was Elaine.
Think or you know?
I don't know. I think I've heard this before, though. What the question is, what of in all the episodes of Seinfeld, there was one episode where one of the four did not appear, right, Jeff?
Yes.
I think I've heard it's Elaine.
I'll tell you the episode. Maybe it'll help you.
No, it's not going to help me.
And it's not Elaine, just so you know.
Oh. Well, then why would you say that, though?
Well, you said, now you got a third of the chance to get it right.
Well, it's not Jerry. I'm going to say George, final
answer.
Now you
got a half a chance.
George, final answer.
George was the answer. It was the episode with the pen.
With the pen? Take the pen from Clumpus? Take the pen.
What are you going to do? I don't hold those ones against you.
No. All right. Now we have a guy who wants to go Rangers. You'll help me, Rangers?
No. I'll help the Islanders.
Well, but you're the hockey guy.
I'm not here to coddle you or hold your hand.
I'm not looking to be coddled nor held.
I washed your grapes. I got your breakfast. I can't. There's only so much I can do.
I brought in the grapes.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. I get you the egg bites and your beautiful tea that
beautiful
you love
tea.
To get you amped up for Stump Rothenberg. I can barely walk.
It's all about you, isn't it?
No, it's not all about me.
Let's go, Vinny and Queen. See what he's got.
Brought a beautiful couch into the office.
Did you bring that couch in?
Yeah.
How'd you get that in here?
I had somebody deliver right to the studio.
You're unbelievable. Go ahead.
Hey, so you guys were looking for a topical question.
Yep.
Well, last night, Chris Kreider became the Rangers' all-time leader in playoff goals scored.
Roger
Bear. 36. No.
Oh.
The second active player on the list.
It has to be Rangers goals, right?
Rangers goals scored in the playoffs.
Active? I mean,
active Ranger.
But do goals have to come as a Ranger?
Correct.
Okay. I mean, who's been here for the longest?
Besides Kreider. Kreider's been here.
Could it
easily.
Be? Well, but
I think you're thinking the right thing.
Could it be Mika?
So what are we doing? We're saying it's not.
No, who's that? The next active guy after?
Well, it's probably. I mean, it would probably be Mika. No,
I would. That's what I would think, but I don't know for sure.
That's active right now. That's not Chris Kreider. Goals, right?
Right.
Second, I would say Mika.
The only one who's close to being a Ranger that long is Mika.
I would say Mika.
All right. So then we're gonna go with Mika Zibanejad.
Yeah. So you guys got it. Kreider has 36. Zibanejad has 13, and actually third on the list is Filip Hedl with 8.
All right, but we got it right.
Ahead of Panarin and Fox.
We got it. All right. So that's well done.
I think Kreider's played like over a 100 playoff games for the Rangers.
Well, Kreider, if you remember, he came up before he even played in a regular season game.
It was in the playoffs.
Yeah, and he came up during the postseason.
He's been here over a decade.
It's amazing. Where did he go to college?
BC.
Yep, he sure did. Oh, really? You don't like that? All right, let's go. Interesting. I don't think we've ever had a question on the San Diego Padres. Joe in Staten Island. Good morning, Joe.
What's going on? So 10-8 against you. So try to keep the win streak going here. Cut. Besides Tony Gwynn, there has been one other Padre to win a batting title. I'm not too confident about this. I think you're going to get it.
Have you seen? I've seen some crazy Tony Gwynn stats recently.
Tony Gwynn was awesome.
One other Padre to win a batting title. You have any idea?
You can
one?
Do it, buddy. You can do it.
You have
I
any
feel
idea?
Like you
this
can
one?
Do it. He thinks you can do it.
Yeah, but I don't know.
So
that
if
I can
he
do
thinks
it.
You can do it, I think you can do it.
So Gwynn must have won more than one. It's probably. Oh, I don't think Steve Garvey won. Batting title. Because they don't have a long history, that organization. I don't know that I know this.
How recent? I mean, how this is
all
not,
right? How ooh, how about whoa. How about Dave? See, is that too easy though? Winfield,
the man keeps his record against you. I this is probably geared a little bit harder than Winfield.
It's not Winfield. I don't think it's Garvey.
Remember they had an MVP winner too.
Oh, God. Now, I feel...
You're almost, like, feeling defeated right now, and
well,
I don't like it.
What I don't lie, and I have to be honest now. I'm going to give the answer, and I'm going to bring you behind the curtain. Is it Gary Sheffield? That's my
fault. That is correct.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Joe, and I'll keep you on the line for this, and just to show transparency on the segment. Or I was thinking, I think I might have gotten it. RJ pops in my ear and he goes, "I think it's Sheffield." So, I mean, I don't.
Oh, you can't take credit for it.
Technically, I didn't get that right.
Yeah.
So, Joe, I don't know how you want to mark that one on your ledger.
We'll call it a draw.
That's fine. You can keep it at 10-8. All right, RJ, why would you do that?
Well, I thought you were giving up.
Mm-mm.
I thought we were I was along with Rick. I thought we were in the process of tossing the towel in.
Or tube sock,
I'll tell you
whatever.
Wow. He mentioned they had an MVP winner. Do
you know what he was doing?
The MVP.
You know what RJ was doing though? That was the like let's get this thing moving.
Oh, is that what? All right, you know, then let's move along. Here we go. Let's go. Ken, Mississippi. Ken, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Ken. How are you?
I'm great.
Good.
David.
Yes.
Mr. Daniel Jones, a.k.a. Vanilla Vic, wears number 8. Can you tell me the last 5 Giants to don number 8?
Number 8.
See, this is a good question. I actually like this question.
Thank you, Rick.
Tim Hasselbeck won number 8.
That's one.
I'm not going in any order, am I?
No. I'll tell you, the first
David
one was
Carr
in the year 2000.
David Carr wore number 8.
That's two.
Morton Anderson wore number 8.
Oh, you're good. That's three.
The guy that's, I believe, still active, Matt Bryant, wore number 8.
Wow. Okay. I don't know how you're doing this.
I got one more.
The man's a savant.
One more. I've been trying to get this question to him for months.
I don't think this is the answer, but there was a gentleman quarterback in the strike season, Mike Bush, I believe, wore number 8.
But not that far back.
That's not the one I have.
It's not.
2010 was the
Shane
year.
Graham.
I'll give you that.
Kicker Shane Graham.
Wow. You got it. Enjoy your day, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
It's well done.
That hails from Mississippi, that question.
You're back.
That better, RJ?
That was well done.
Let's go to Max in Brooklyn. Max? Nope. Well, you know what we're going to do? I'm going to read something to you first. You're listening to DPH on Rothenberg, 98.7 ESPN, WEPN-FM, New York. All right, now let's go to Max in Brooklyn. Good morning, Max. Good
morning, hello.
Hello.
Who is the only player in NBA history to win, who gets an all-NBA team back-to-back years, but not make an all-star team that those same years?
All-NBA, but no all-star team. Twice. Yes?
Max. Max, yeah. You there?
Yeah. Is that, yeah.
Repeat the question. Dave's asking you to repeat the question.
NBA player to make an all-NBA back-to-back years but not be an all-star in those years.
Wow.
And it's got, I think Hakeem Olajuwon, it's happened to him, but I don't know that he was necessarily back-to-back. I don't think I know this. Do you think you know this?
Do I know this? Probably not, no.
RJ, have any idea on this one? Might be Antonio McDice, but the back-to-back makes it difficult.
Like, how recent is this? Is this fairly recent or no?
This has happened in the last, within the last 10 years.
Last 10 years.
Well, you got to think. It's going to be somebody that's a good player.
Rudy Gobert.
Sorry?
Rudy Gobert.
Is that a final answer?
Yes.
It wasn't Rudy Gobert. It happened to him, but not back-to-back years. It was DeAndre Jordan.
DeAndre Jordan. All right. That's unfortunate.
So close.
But somebody like that, you know, is going to be like,
yes. Gobert did have twice. They were separated by a year.
Ugh, that's very unfortunate. You want to keep going, RJ? You want to go five-pack?
What about my question?
Oh, yeah, how about you?
Why am I just, I don't know, all of a sudden I'm not involved in the segment.
Well, I don't know. You have the car giveaway. I figure, how much more can you take on your plate?
That's 2 weeks in a row. You've just kind of been.
Yeah, I just nonchalantly just throws me right to the side. I bit my lip yesterday. I'm having a hard time talking right now.
Are you getting it? You ever get a canker sore?
No, but it's like it's swollen on the inside.
And you know what? You just continue to bite it over.
Yeah.
And, oh, it's the worst.
Okay, here we go. This is very topical. It's NHL playoff style.
Okay.
Chris Kreider. Loves to be in front of them on that power play. Can you tell me who has the most career NHL playoff power play goals? Playoff power play goals.
Most career playoff? I mean, Gretzky would have to be too easy.
He's right there. Gretzky's right there.
Yeah, but it's not Gretzky.
I wouldn't give you something. I wouldn't give you a layup like that. Someone you know.
Of course. Could it be Mess?
Terrific goal scorer.
Most career playoff goals on the power play. Brett Hull.
Final answer.
Yes.
Give him the ding.
I got your number, Larry.
There we go. Did you know the answer, Raymond? Is that why you had that ready to go?
Of course.
Look at Raymond. Maybe we should do a stump Raymond.
Maybe Raymond, we should.
I think he could be a secretly.
Wait, you just knew it on your own, or you?
No,
had...
no, of course not. I looked it up.
Oh, he looked it up. At least we're honest on the show. All right.
I'm getting a text message, by the way, that Seinfeld question was wrong, by the way.
What do you mean?
Yeah, it looks like it was a total fraud question.
Yeah, what does he say?
I thought it was Elaine, but this gentleman said no.
Yeah, I think that's what Winthrop is saying. It was Elaine.
Because I didn't think she was in the pilot episode.
I think you're right.
Yeah. And also, they changed fathers. Jerry's father was not the same Morty Seinfeld that he was later episodes.
That's right.
I can't recall if you've had this conversation with us before.
I'm going to blow your mind right now.
Blow it.
Ready for this? Jerry's mom.
Yep.
On the show.
Mm-hmm.
Had a torrid affair with who? A torrid affair with who?
Ben Stiller's dad.
Elvis Presley.
Stop it.
Shut up. I swear to God.
For real?
I'm not kidding.
I like that. That's a good nugget.
A torrid affair with Elvis Presley. Tell me that's not worth listening to the show for, if nothing else, all day.
I had no idea.
RJ, what do you got? You got a little five-pack to throw at us here?
We sure do. So right. Leading up to the NFL draft, we've had our theme, position groups. Today's position group, wide receivers.
All right.
Thought you were going to go reverse cowgirl.
And that's my fault. Sorry. I apologize for that.
At least you've apologized.
Yes.
We continue.
Okay.
Peerless Price.
Tennessee.
Oh, I knew that one.
That was quick. No, you didn't.
We'll give you a chance.
No,
No, I'm being serious. I'm going to give you 5 seconds. You don't know 5 seconds, I'll jump in.
5 seconds, okay. Too many seconds.
3 seconds.
Yes.
Okay.
This is what you've done.
Why?
Because you didn't know. I know you didn't know. Plaxico Burress.
Michigan State.
Look at him. Nice. Look at him.
Nice. Maybe he did know.
I think he did. I don't think he would say he knew if he didn't know.
Santonio Holmes.
Come on. Oh, come on.
It's a college.
Yeah, see, why? He's a nasty little guy.
What did you think he thought it was?
I mean, Santonio Holmes.
Big Ten.
Might be the college.
Ohio State.
Oh, good clue.
Oh, yes.
That was easy.
Go ahead. I mean, my God.
All right. Dwayne Bow.
LSU.
And finally, Sidney Rice. Not related to Jerry.
I'm not even sure about this one.
The conference.
I think it's SEC, right?
I was going to say the conference Texas is headed to, not current.
Yeah. I'm going to say South Carolina.
Wow, that was good.
That's a good one.
I am too smart.
That was pretty good.
I got one, right? That's all I need.
Well, you really knew, too, because they judged you on Peerless Price.
Poo-pooed it, yeah. Thanks.
All right, there you have it. Stump Rothenberg. We'll do it again next Wednesday, 7:45. This portion of the show now driven by the All-American Ford Auto Group, number one volume Ford group in the Northeast. Huge locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Shop allamericanford.net. That's allamericanford.net. All right, so Rangers, Knicks, really the two topical things this morning. Of course, the Devils are involved with the Rangers as well. So 1-800-919-3776. We'll get to the baseball. Mets, not heartbroken. Kershaw was phenomenal. Happens. Yankees, that's not a great loss at the stadium, but did get to see Shohei completely on display. Let's get back to the Knicks. 1-800-919-3776. We started the show with this discussion of, do you feel as they leave Cleveland, now you get today, tomorrow off, Friday, you play that game late, 8:30 at the Garden. Do you feel more so like went in there with the job of winning one and losing one, splitting these two games, and they did that? Or do you feel after these two games, they squandered a golden opportunity to take a stranglehold on the series?
Well, I think you can feel both.
How can you feel both?
Because
which do you feel more, though?
Well, I think it's both. I mean, it's what you intended to do or you hoped to do going into Cleveland was get back home court, which you did. You split the two games. But when you win game one, now you get greedy. Win game one, now can we find a way to win game two and really take a stranglehold, like you said, of the series? And it actually wasn't a terrible start for as bad as it eventually got.
Terrible start? I thought it was a really good start.
Right, it was. I mean, it wasn't a bad start at all. They came out, and then all of a sudden, I mean, Cleveland, they said they were going to do it, because clearly, I mean, they felt a way about the physicality, and you heard Garland talking about they punched us in the face. We got to see how we respond. And then the second quarter was it.
It was a disaster. Well, they couldn't score.
No, they couldn't score. And I mean, Cleveland shot 50%. Like you got stuck in the exact game that Cleveland wants to play.
That's right.
Which is a slow it down half court game, and your half court offense looked. Oof.
It looked brutal. Well, let's give Cleveland some credit, too.
Of course.
Right? They went in with the mindset of, we're going to be physical. We're going to grind it out. We're going to show them everything we weren't able to do in game one. We're going to do in game two. And they did that.
That's exactly what they did. But they went into game two knowing that they could not afford to lose this, obviously. I mean, that goes without saying, but there's a certain desperation that comes along with that. And they were going to need certain guys to step up. And I think the fact that Darius Garland said what he said after game one, I'm sure he put a little bit of extra pressure on himself to be aggressive and come out in game two and back up what he said. I mean, if you're gonna open your mouth, you better be able to back up what you said.
And they did.
And he dropped 26 in the first half. And on top of that, I mean, you're still, as a Knicks fan, hoping now, because you're coming home, that IQ and Grimes and RJ Barrett can find a way to help out and contribute.
Well, you're under the assumption, as am I, right, that Brunson's going to be fine.
Always.
That Randall's going to be fine.
That's right.
Then Mitchell Robinson, because his game translates to anywhere. It's not like a skill game. It's more of a bullish game where he's a good defender and a good rebounder. He's going to be fine. Now, the question is, can I get... And I think Josh Hart, when he's healthier in their home, will also be fine. He had one bad game. It's a one-off. I don't think it's that big a deal. Can you get, between these three guys, Quickly, Grimes, and Barrett, two of them to play at a high level? And then I think you win these games at home.
You're probably right. You're probably right. But you're going to need those other two to play well also. I mean, last night was not the recipe that we've seen from the Knicks. It's usually, like we talk about, Julius Randle gets you going, and then, you know, Jalen Brunson is the one that takes you home. Neither of those guys really got going. And on top of that, you know, Cleveland is a really, really good defensive team.
Yes.
That's good.
That's their M.O.
That's their M.O.
You're going to score 103 points, and we're going to score more than that, and we're going to beat you. We're going to grind it out. 100 points now in the NBA, nothing.
The Knicks scored 39 in the first half.
Nothing.
Yeah, but the Knicks scored 39 in the first half.
I know.
Well, that's their lowest total of the season.
It was a dreadful... I mean, they couldn't score. Midway through the second quarter, they had like 24 points.
Yeah, and then on top of that, the ball security was non-existent. I mean, 14 turnovers. The Cavs got 27 points off the 14 turnovers. Like, you're playing into the strength of Cleveland's game.
We'll hear from the coach on this in a second. I'll ask you before we hear from Tom Thibodeau. Did the Knicks meet Cleveland's brand of physicality last night?
Not the way that they did in game one. I didn't think so.
All right.
I actually thought the bigs. Remember we talked after game one how well Hartenstein and Mitchell Robinson did.
Because Robinson, I kind of expect that from him. I thought Hartenstein was phenomenal in game one.
Right. But I thought, I mean, again, like the reason why I said to start the show, I was having a hard time knowing exactly how to feel about this thing, but the fact that they did get embarrassed and blown out, I think that's probably not a terrible thing, because you're going to get everyone's absolute best in game three, just like you got Cleveland's absolute best in game two. But I'm sure, listen, we all hear what's going on. I'm sure Allen and Mobley took it a little bit personal that they got bullied around in game
one. I'm sure they did. Here's Thibodeau. Did your team meet the physicality of Cleveland in game two?
You're playing the same team and the same personnel over and over. So that's each game, it goes up a notch, you know, and so you got to be ready for that. And so you got to embrace it.
Well, he didn't really answer that all that much, but I think the answer is probably not.
Well, I think that's what he insinuated, is that their level of intensity went up from where it was in game
right.
one, and we weren't ready to match it.
Right. But I got to figure, knowing just the fever pitch the Garden's going to be at Friday night, that the Knicks' level of intensity, I almost hope they're not too intense. And too wired up and too geeked up, because that can happen.
Absolutely can happen.
With the crowd at that fever pitch, and they're going to be nuts on Friday.
Plenty of those games. It's got to be controlled. I mean, you're going to be fired up, but you can't go out there and all of a sudden try to win the game in the first 5 minutes. You go out and you try to harness. It's the best word. You try to harness all that energy. Because you feel it before you step on the ice, you step on the court, you can feel it. The whole day leading up to it, you can kind of feel it. And then you start hearing, I mean, you come out for warm-ups for us, and you could see the crowd, and you could feel it. Like, at the Coliseum, you could feel the vibrations.
Well, listen, Coliseum was a wonderful, I mean, it was kind of a crappy building towards the end, but as far as just an energy and electricity was
amazing.
Was phenomenal.
Like, you could feel, like, seriously, like, you could feel it coming through the locker room. It was awesome.
And the Garden is there. I mean, listen, we say it all the time. Awful, tough place to play when things are not going well. When your crowd is behind you at the Garden, it's phenomenal. It's elite.
It is elite. It is elite. And then, I mean, I would say, too, for the Cleveland side of this thing, I'm sure that Donovan Mitchell is going to be looking to make a statement, too. So,
yeah, I'm sure he will.
This
is a good series.
Yeah, well, on top of that, what you had at the end of the game with the physicality between Allen and, and Julius.
Speaking of that, you see, I was surprised by this, actually.
Very surprised.
Draymond Green was suspended for game 3.
Yeah, I'm very surprised by this.
Yeah.
This is more on reputation, but...
Well, they actually said that, though.
Yeah.
They said, like, a part of the reason he's being suspended for game 3 is because of he has a track record of doing this.
I know, but, man, they're already down 2 games. You know what he means to them defensively? Fine would have been enough, maybe.
And he got thrown out of the game.
Yeah.
It's not like they let him finish that game.
On top of that, he wasn't the only one who got a technical there. Right? I mean, mm-hmm. Sabonis got a technical, too, because he kind of instigated it by grabbing his foot. That doesn't mean you're supposed to use somebody as a trampoline afterwards, but, I mean...
Yeah, but that's stomped to the chest. And I think, if he doesn't have a history of doing that, he's probably playing in game 3.
Right. If it's not Julius, it's like, I mean... That play last night, dude. I mean, that's a dirty, unnecessary play.
It was a very dirty play.
Like, Julius is in a vulnerable position right there.
Do you understand the amount of calls we get today? Not angry at Jared Allen, furious at the head coach if something really happened to Julius Randle.
If Julius Randle got hurt today. Oh, my goodness.
I'm annoyed. There was no reason for him to be in that game at that moment.
Yeah, that's the funny part about Knicks fans, too. Now you can't afford to lose him. We're better off without him. Play Obi more, the ball moves more. Now, God forbid he got hurt there, people would go nuts.
And he didn't play well last night.
No.
But nobody played well last night.
No, no one played well. I mean, him not playing well is still 22 points. I know that's on 20 shots, but still. Here's the thing, though, David, is it's obviously easier to sit here in front of microphones and just say, you know, make the right decision or that's the wrong decision.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to understand, too, it's when your best player, who you realize you need to win the series, telling you, hey, coach, do me a solid. I'd like to see a couple go in here so I can start feeling, because the guy missed time. So it's not like Julius has played, you know, all 82 through. He, you know, missed some time.
Yeah, he didn't play the last, 10 games of the regular season,
You got a couple extra days off after game 1. Was not great in the second half. Kind of wore down. So he's probably like, in his mind, you know, let's get some more.
But I don't even think this is Monday morning quarterback. I think if I would have called you last night, like moments before that happened, and said to you, can you guys, or on the text chain that we're on, which wasn't overly annoying last night, if I would have said, you know what, how do you feel about Julius Randle being in the game right now, that everyone would respond that don't love it. Don't understand the point.
No, until you heard the explanation.
The explanation does make a semblance of sense, but I think there's more negative that can happen than positive that can happen.
Right. Yeah, but I think the problem with most of us that play or coach is that's not really necessarily what you're thinking about.
But I think when you're the
until
coach,
it happens.
And when you're the coach, you need to be. Like when you're the parent, right? If your kids come to you and want to do something that you look at as the parent as something that they shouldn't do, you have to step up and put your big boy pants on and say, I'm sorry, Milo or you know, Rocco, you're not allowed to do that. You can't do it.
I don't disagree. I mean, that game was, there was no reason for him to be in unless, of course, he asked to be in. And even then, you're probably leaning more towards, listen, Julius, we don't play again until Friday. Whatever you think you're going to gain here over the next couple minutes, not worth you potentially retweaking your ankle or something stupid.
Doesn't feel it. Jalen Brunson says we need to regroup for game 3.
They just play better, and we just got to come back on Friday and sit together the next couple of days and just get ready to go.
Again, I've said this before, and you're welcome to chime in, 800-919-3776. I'm not worried at all about the Knicks. I still feel really good about this series, and I think the change in location will make all the difference.
Here for me is the unique part of the playoffs, and this is what makes it's so difficult to win a championship, because... It's hard. I mean, it's human nature after you win a game 1 the way the Knicks won game 1 to now all of a sudden sit around for a couple days, come out in game 2 and try to match the same level of intensity and desperation of the team that's down 1-0 at home, understanding that the series could be over if they lose that game. That's why they always say But I mean, what do they always say? The cliche in the playoffs is the hardest game is always the elimination game. Because the team is fighting for their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always the hardest game. Can we get to that level?
Now, it wasn't you lose your season's over, but you're Cleveland, you lose your season's over.
It's kind of.
Right? And probably in 4. You probably get swept away. So they recognize the magnitude of that game and they took care of business.
And they took care of business.
You know, it's so funny the way we look at things, right? We're sports talk in New York. And we analyze things from the New York perspective. You went into game 1, and I thought you were the better team. You're the more physical team. You killed them on the glass.
Bench was better.
The bench was better. Your best players, well, I mean, Mitchell was great, but, you know, your secondary players were, you were just a better team, and you won that game, and you were thrilled about it. Now you turn around game two, and you're all excited, and we get calls, Eastern Conference Finals, why can't they go here, why can't they go there? And you get smacked across the face, and now it's, oh, God. This is what, I mean, we talked about this yesterday. This is what a long series is. There's going to be ebbs, there's going to be flows, there's going to be good, there's going to be bad. You had a great game one, you had a bad game two, you get 2 days to recover, and you're at it at the Garden for game three. I like where they sit right now.
It's all about how you respond. It's absolutely 100% all about how you respond. Like even last night in the Rangers game, how would the Rangers come out on the road? And, you know, early penalty, they kill it. And then they respond by scoring a goal and great start. So as the, you know, as you sit there in the Devil's locker room, coach comes in, you're talking, all right, fellas, now it's our turn. How do we respond to this? And they came out in the first half of that second period, and the Devils were great.
But they didn't score.
No, they didn't score. But it took the Rangers, what, 9 minutes to get their first shot in that second period?
Yes.
This is what the playoffs is all about. It's punch, counterpunch, punch, counterpunch.
Right. I mean, it's very infrequent that you go out there, you hammer the opposition.
Well, especially when you're a 4-5. This is a 4-5. This is not an 8-1.
The only thing I guess you could be upset about, and you even said earlier in the show, you're not even that upset because you'd almost rather lose a game where you get pummeled than a game where you're in it and maybe you get beaten on a last-second shot.
Yeah, because I think I know the mentality of athletes. When you get embarrassed the way the Knicks got embarrassed, I mean, this is going to make the next couple days awful for you because you're gonna think about it, and then all the preparation, all the work that you're gonna put in is gonna ramp up because God forbid this happened, you let this happen again, and they're gonna come out like gangbusters in game three.
I would think so.
They better.
I would be severely disappointed.
We've seen this team enough this season to know this is a resilient team. This team is
very resilient. Now, gangbusters game three, I would like that. Just win game three.
Doesn't matter.
I don't care how it looks. I made a mistake, and I apologize. Now, my mistake, I told you that Liz Sheridan, the actress that played Jerry's mom.
Wasn't Elvis.
Was not Elvis, but the tour de fare was accurate. James Dean.
Oh, even better.
Right?
Yes.
So I thought it was Elvis, James Dean.
Wow.
They almost got married.
Really?
Yes. Wow. And for those of you that don't know, James Dean
is the sausage, right, Jimmy Dean?
No, not the sausage. was the actor?
Should have known that was coming.
I'll probably get talked about for the
why?
Because I don't know.
Nothing.
Because I don't know.
James Dean is handsome.
James Dean was the Leonardo DiCaprio of the 50s.
Wow, look at her.
Right.
Well, Minx.
Who would have thought that Jerry's mom was?
Well,
shake him up with a stick, huh?
You guys okay over there?
What do you mean?
Why don't you relax?
You guys
all right?
Sound like you need
relax.
Help.
What's wrong?
It's a work computer.
My computer's. Listen,
I looked up Liz Sheridan dated.
It's his ladies.
And it's I didn't look up Jenna Jameson videos.
Ooh.
Those are my ladies.
Those are your ladies.
It's great videos.
She was an artiste.
A lot of silence over there.
What do you mean? Are you guys okay over there?
There's a lot of silence. I hear mouses clicking.
I'm not clicking anything.
Let's scale you guys up.
Those are mice.
You were swoony.
You can't even speak the language.
What's wrong with this guy today? I can't even ask him a question.
I'm on like 2 hours of sleep.
Oh,
what
God.
Do you mean?
Here we go.
I can barely walk, and you're complaining.
That's true.
Can't we just admit that each and every one of us has ailments?
Have issues, yeah.
You single-handedly dragged the couch into
barely.
Here today, so you know
they're
what?
Blind. You I think you're sweating. Blind.
Wait, what? How did the couch get here?
I stole it from the hallway.
He dragged it.
I can't. I have a hard time sitting, so I need to lay down. So I dragged with the help of Raymond.
So the two of you dragged that couch there.
Yeah, because why is it in the hallway? Who needs the couch in the hallway?
It's just for looks.
But right, so it looks better in here.
I like the look of it in the hallway.
No, you can lay on that whenever you want. No.
It's a therapy couch.
We could use one of
those.
When
we bring in the therapist to break me down, I'll lie on that couch. I'll take a handheld mic and they can ask me whatever question they want.
Maybe you lay down there and I'll hand feed you the grapes.
Or we could do a photo shoot.
Like Cleopatra.
That would be nice. Wow. I go on my hands and knees on the couch.
I don't think we need that.
You dangle them right over my mouth.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I look up to nibble on the grapes.
Why are you on your hands and knees?
We don't know.
You never seen the photo?
Again, it's a work computer.
It's Cleopatra.
I don't know what she's doing.
The Queen of the Nile.
I bet she is.
Are you trying to be Queen of the Nile? Like, what's happening?
Forget
he could
it.
Be.
Listen, if you have some strange fantasies, now's the time. Just throw them out there.
I go right on the couch. Sit on that couch. I can ask you anything.
I'd rather not.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.